There's just so much more to hear.
Download our podcasts at DubaiEye1038.com.
Drive Live talks education.
They are Sean Robison, BBD Education. Nice to see you, Sean. Very big warm welcome. Let me switch you on. There you go.
Great to be back on the show. Thank
you. Good to have you here. And James Mullin is from Which School Advisor. James, nice to see you.
Yeah, wonderful to be here.
As well. So it's coming to that point where everything on the radio or on TV is a look back at 2017 because we're too busy to do anything else. No, it's because we've researched this fully and that's what we want to do. But it has been an interesting year, I think, because what we've seen in 2017, correct me if I'm wrong, is a massive influx of new schools, teachers, new parents going to new schools. There's bound to be fallout from that, I suppose, both good and bad. Let's look at the perspective of what's been good for parents, first of all. Let's split this into three sections: parents, teachers, and schools. We'll look ahead to opportunities for next year as well. But Sean, what stands out for you from a parental perspective this year?
The one word that I will come back to is choice.
Yep.
Parents now have their first choice of schools across Dubai, first choice of school. So because of the amount of new schools in the market and looking ahead to 2018, 12 more new schools in Dubai in the pipeline, possibly more, parents have choice. So that means that they can shop around. It means that existing schools have to become better at their customer service aspects of the industry. And schools have to get better at offering value for money.
It hasn't been. It's kind of counterintuitive for a school to think in those terms, those kind of customer service terms, or at least traditionally, historically, it's been counterintuitive. And I, at the beginning of the year, you've been on this, there is a choice. It's almost a mantra, I think. And I mean that with the greatest of respect. And you are right. But I have seen that. In my own experience, James, I'm starting to see schools think in those terms a lot more. Do you think that's the case?
Absolutely. I think what schools have woken up to, or many of the schools that were maybe a little bit complacent, is where they actually are. They are in Dubai, and Dubai is a place that thrives through competition and has grown up over the last 40 years. So they have entered into that sphere, and what that means is they have to look at those parents coming in as customers. They've got to think about what they're delivering for them. What is the proposition? What have they got that's different from another school? Mm. Because with the choice, then the parents are looking at all of the schools and saying, well, which is the best fit for my particular child? So, you know, one school may be right for one of your children, but you may choose to take them to another school.
See, that's a really good point, isn't it? It is much more about, well, just because the older sibling has gone there, the next one does go there, and then the next one follows. It's not that route anymore. You do have the choice. You can make a decision based on that aspect. Do you think parents are really starting to think in those terms? Because what I do think has happened in the last few years, we've seen massive growth in the sector, new schools opening, big schools opening. The choice has really been in the last year to 2 years, and I think some of the newer schools that open for 4 or 5 years ago perhaps haven't fulfilled the promise that perhaps was put out there, and parents are starting to vote really honestly, Sean, with their feet, aren't they?
Yeah, and I think that's only a good thing for the market. Mm. If parents can if parents can look at schools and look at academic results, but then also value added, and then also about their what benefits there are to the children, and then hold the schools to account. I don't always think it's a good thing that parents are simply moving schools all the time either. I don't think that's always the best thing. Mm. But in a private international market, when parents are paying fees, and in some cases very high fees, parents have the right to move, as you say, with their feet.
Yep.
So I think, yes, some schools will promise a lot, and some schools will not deliver on those promises. And in those cases, when parents leave, other schools benefit.
So choice is the thing that stands out there really for you. What else stands out this year, James? You look at education, I guess, slightly differently. You're offering perspective on schools advice, which school advisor. What stands out for you?
Yeah, I mean, it's this point of difference. It's the fact that you have schools available at various fee points. So the affordable market, as it's been referred to, so where you've got schools from around about 20,000 up to about 35,000 dirhams per year. That's sort of what's called mid-market.
That's the definition, really.
It varies slightly from pundit to pundit, but right. It's in and around that area. And what you're seeing is there is a lot more choice in that area. Plus, what people are doing, they're saying, well, you know, do we need the planetarium? Do we need the swimming pool? Do we need all of these areas? And some of the parents say, well, no, we're happy just if we can get a good, solid education for the children, we'll take care of all that extracurricular stuff as well. So that's really one of the points that stood out. It's the year of the affordable school, and you see that with the school operators. I mean, Sean's a bit closer to this than I am. You know, he speaks to investors who are coming in, but there seems to be a focus on this area, and it looks like that this will be the area that we'll be focused on for the next 4 to 5 years.
The year of the affordable school would be a great mini movie, I think. I could see that as kind of a TV mini series almost. But we'll come back and talk some more about the teaching perspective, specifically the teacher's perspective in a moment. If you are a parent and you have some input on this, what do you think has been the standout point of the year in education terms? If you do think there has been, or what do you think hasn't been even as well? 4001 or via the free app, be good to hear from you. Drive Live Talks Education. Two guests, Sean Robinson, James Mullen. The teacher's perspective next.
Drive Live Talks Education.
Until 5 today, two guests here. Sean Robinson is with me, and James Mullen from Which School Advisor. We're looking back at 2017 from an educational perspective, standout points, points of difference and choice for parents this year. We haven't mentioned fees at all. We'll gloss over fees because they're not going down anytime soon, unfortunately. Let's talk about teachers now, what teachers should be thinking about. And during the news, Sean, you brought something up. You were talking to teachers recently about maximising their potential in the marketplace. I suppose most teachers looked to you and went, marketplace? What is this?
Yeah, it's a typical reaction, and it's quite a provocative question to ask a teacher. What exactly are you selling? And as you can imagine, it gets a lot of people, a lot of teachers' backs up. But one thing that I look at with teachers is thinking about the profession differently, because we're in an international private sector. So we engaged with some teachers last week, and we suggested 5 things that teachers could think differently about in 2017. First thing was salaries and allowances. To not take the same approach with salaries and think that the system is the same as their home country. Second thing was professional learning. Demonstrate the impact. Where's the impact been? Third thing was parents. Engaging with parents. Seeing parents as fee-paying parents. The fourth thing was something that I call agency. There's a global shortage of teachers. Teachers need to understand that they are in a very, very strong position when it comes to leveraging their relationships, and they need to recognize that. And the last one was to be aware that they are in a marketplace. And it's a private international sector. And I think you said over the break that when a teacher decides to move into the private international sector, they need to see that it's different.
Well, I mean, it always strikes me. I mean, unfortunately, I mean, lots of teachers, I think, come from a state system where I guess the mindset is different, let's put it that way. But you are effectively, as soon as you leave that system, to come to a market like Dubai, and we hear this bandied around all the time. This region is the largest private education sector in the world, blah, blah, blah. We all are aware of that. But you become a hired gun, don't you, James?
Absolutely. And these discussions that Sean's having with the teachers, they'll need to get wise to it. I mean, some teachers already are aware of this. They're aware of their value, and they're also aware of how much they're worth elsewhere in the world. So, for instance, the international schools in China have been recruiting massively over the last 3 or 4 years. They've been paying phenomenal salaries. The conditions are excellent. You go to countries like Malaysia as well, Malaysia and Thailand, where the market is growing very quickly indeed. And again, the packages that are made available to the best teachers are excellent. So there is this market out there, and these guys who are at the top of their game know about this.
But I mean, if you want to be the best at anything, you have to work, you have to keep studying, you have to keep training, you have to keep interest levels up, and you have to think in those terms. And those are very different to a traditional teaching mindset. And I think I'm not trying to do teachers down here, but I'm not trying to say that teachers in it just for the money, because there is a balance in any job. But it is a different way of viewing a profession, isn't it, for lots of people?
It is, and I try to move away from this idea that teaching is a vocation. Teaching is a vocation for life. Actually, it's a career of choice now. And people come into the profession, come out of the profession like every other profession. So teaching isn't any different. And why should we look at it any differently to banking or to architecture or other industries? Teaching is a career that some people choose to do for a period of time in their life and dedicate themselves to that. And then often they leave and do something else. And there's nothing wrong with that. I think this idea that it's this noble profession and that we should stay with the same habits and same behaviors as 50 years ago, I think it's an old idea. It's outdated.
Well, it's kind of a new way of thinking. We do a careers, not a careers advisory segment on this program, but we do a careers segment on this program. And one of the people who comes in, Shane Phillips, is particularly keen on how you view yourself and how you view your personal brand. And I don't think in those terms, genuinely, but I suppose you have to learn to do that because times change. I look at professions like engineering and teaching as being fundamentally important professions, and I look at my own profession as being almost secondary to those, which is the wrong way to do it, but that's, I guess, a process of evolution that I still need to go through. I'm looking forward to the angry texts coming in from teachers, by the way.
I'm looking forward to them as well, yes.
But it is a very good, but it is a, I was going to say, newfangled way of looking at it. That's wrong as well, but it is a different way of approaching it.
It's a move from being status assumed to status earned.
Okay.
And that's the difference. It's recognizing that you actually have to earn your status to be an international private school teacher for a long period of time.
And you have to make an impact on children. The key here is not to say this is all about you, the teacher. This is all about you and your money and the package that you earn. Mm-hmm. This is ultimately still whatever anybody says about making an impact on a child teaching.
That's exactly it. Last week when we spoke to 52 teachers in Alain and we had a conversation about this, and we asked the teachers, when you're presenting your CV to a new employer or you're writing a letter of application, how many times are you using the word children on your CV? Are you just talking about yourself? I did this and I did this and I did this. How many times are you using the word children, impact, learning on your CV? And it's shifting away from this idea that they are assumed, their position is assumed. They've got to earn the right to teach, and it's a privilege to teach. So we just need to think about how we approach it differently.
What do schools say to you, James, when they look at candidates or you have discussions about the types of teachers that this market needs?
Well, it's interesting on this sort of subject. I was talking to somebody who works with Oxbridge graduates or Oxbridge applications.
Right.
And she was telling me last week that when kids go for these interviews now, what a lot of the kids make the mistake of doing is to try and impress with their knowledge of a particular topic. And he said what they are not interested is that at all, knowledge for knowledge's sake. What they're very interested in knowing is learning. So what have those children learnt about learning when they are at school? And how can they deploy that knowledge about learning? So if you look at that, you know, so these are Oxbridge elite universities, whatever, trying to get the best of kids. But why shouldn't that apply right throughout? That is something that should apply right throughout the spectrum. It shouldn't just be a secret that's held amongst, you know, a core of elite universities.
Okay, so that needs enthusiasm and love of teaching and viewing teaching as the thing that you are always going to do throughout your career. It's not a stepping stone. So it's a continual process of learning and trying new approaches, being innovative. What else do teachers need to do to make an impact, Sean?
They need to think differently about parents.
Right.
And they need to recognize that in a fee-paying market like the UAE, the interactions that they have with parents, these very nuanced interactions, make a difference. And it could be the difference between the parent having a lot of confidence in the school and the communication and not having a lot of confidence. Because quite often the teacher is at the front line of the interaction with the parent. And it's traditionally teachers... they like their domain, their classroom. They put these boundaries around it, and anyone who steps inside of it, it's kind of like a big no-no. And as a former teacher myself, I understand that.
Mm.
But for a lot of parents who are paying fees for the first time, which is quite common in the UAE, we have a lot of first-time buying parents. The idea when you drop little Johnny off at 8 o'clock in the morning and he's 3 years old, and you're not allowed to have a look in or put your head through the door or just speak to the teacher, it can be quite discomforting for some parents. So I'm not suggesting that you let all 30 parents in at 8 o'clock and let them wander around, but it's just understanding parents and understanding the nature of fee-paying education here in the region.
But it's the balance, though, isn't it? You both know my wife's a teacher. I think she kind of tries to strike that balance, but you do have, and I'm sure we're all very aware, that there are some incredibly overbearing pain in the neck parents, I suppose, who really want to monopolise your time. And if you have a class of 20, 25, 30 children, you don't have the time. Nobody is special. You're all as special as one another, but, you know, we're not all equal, are we?
Yeah, but, I mean, it's about setting boundaries. You know, one of the former inhabitants used to do the panel with us here, Mike Embley, who's formerly of the Nord Anglia School, was a classic example of exactly how to do that. He made very clear from the outset what the contract between parents and teachers involved and what parents could expect. And if they stepped out of line, then he came down on them and wasn't afraid to do so. But it was very, very clear to all parties what was expected. And he protected his teachers as well. So it is. We're not saying it's an easy job, particularly in this, you know, in this very dynamic market that we have here in the UAE. But it has to be done. And teachers have got to realize that parents will be coming to speak to them. I mean, I used to work in advertising a long time ago, and we used to have a line which was great business if it wasn't for the clients, you know. And that's, I think, how many teachers will feel about. I'm not saying all of them would feel about some, you know, well, certain number of parents that they have to deal with.
There's always a line, isn't there, somewhere. I've hit that line a few times and transgressed it a number of times as well. Drive Live Talks Education. Two guests, Sean Robeson, James Mullen, are both with me. We're thinking about 2017 from the perspective of parents, from teachers. We're going to do it from the school perspective next.
Drive Live Talks Education.
Two guests here, James Mullen from Which School Advisor and Sean Robeson from BBD Education.
Drive Live Talks Education.
2017, from the perspective of parents, points of difference and choice, the two standout factors. What teachers have needed to be more aware of in 2017. No, well, not many angry texts in about that, Sean. You'll be glad to know. Let's move on to the school perspective. And I'll ask you first, James, what stands out for you from a school's perspective in 2017? What are you hearing? What have you been told?
Well, what's clear, I mean, I've mentioned this point of difference before, and I think what's clear is that the schools that are succeeding have got strong leaders. They have a very strong point of difference. I've talked about the affordable schools, but there's schools that are charging, you know, at the high end, which are doing phenomenally well as well. But that's really the key thing is around the leadership and the point of difference and the fact that they're investing in their people. They're getting very, very good people. And that in the competitive landscape that we're in, parents are recognizing that. Parents are looking for that quality, you know, that quality teaching, whether it's at the affordable level or through to the high end schools.
How do you know that, Sean, that parents are getting that message, that they are seeking out the schools where they know teachers are, I hate to say people are of quality, but you know where I'm going with that.
Well, I've seen in the past year the quality of candidates looking to move to the UAE is significantly higher than before.
Right.
So we're seeing a better quality of candidate coming out of Europe and the UK and the US. Unfortunately, that may be connected to the currency devaluation, but hey, if we're benefiting from it, great. But we're seeing a lot of people look to move here. It's still a very, very attractive place to work. So because of the increased quality, and schools seeing that they can get better candidates and there's a bigger pool of candidates, it means that the parents are getting a better and more qualified bunch of teachers teaching the children. It's obviously the school's responsibility to be transparent with the parents, publish the profiles, publish the qualifications of the teachers so they can see that. But from our perspective, we're seeing that, you know, there's still a long way to go, but the quality of teaching and teachers is significantly better than before.
Well, the teaching landscape has changed, hasn't it? We can't underestimate, I guess, as well, the impact of the KHDA and what they're trying to do, what the standards they're trying to keep in schools. The teaching, there's going to be a teaching examination, is there not? A qualification check, if you like, a licensing check as well. So that there's clearly a drive from the authorities to make sure that we continue on the, you know, uphill. slope change.
And, I mean, you've referenced KHDA. I mean, there was a major announcement just last week relating to special educational needs.
Well, that's right, yeah.
And that is set to make a massive impact, I think, in terms of the landscape here, because no child can be refused from a school. Schools cannot put up their fees on the basis of the child having special needs. So this program that they've set out last year or last week has been massively welcomed by parents. So I think it's the pace of development in Dubai. I mean, we've been here a while. It happens very, very quickly, and it's happening very, very quickly in education. I mean, we have 19 different curricula available to us. It's phenomenal. The choice that's available in this, in the UAE at the moment. So I think we can expect to see focus on specialisms as well. Mm-hmm. So, you're going to see sports schools, for instance, music schools, these sorts of schools will be coming in too. So there's going to be even more choice, I think, for parents going forward.
I think you're seeing certain schools going in that direction now. I think certain schools are noted for, prowess in sports, educational aspects, and you can see that that's going to diverge slightly more, I suppose. I just wanted to bring up John's point here. He says, excellent point on difference between private and state schools. Shouldn't the schools here foot the bill for ensuring the teachers understand the difference? And what about KPIs beyond grades?
I'm trying to walk out the front door this evening. KPIs is on my to-do list for 2018 for teachers, but it's entirely normal for a principal to have KPIs. It's quite common in some really good examples for governing bodies to have KPIs in schools here. Teachers having KPIs, most really good schools have performance appraisal systems with clear targets in place for teachers. So, I don't want to get into a semantic debate, but most good schools here manage performance very well with teachers. And because most teachers are on a two-year contract, they can up the teacher's contract and up their HR package. Or if the teacher's not performing, they can get them out very quickly as well.
We've got about a minute left, so I'm just going to ask you briefly to look ahead. The crystal ball's on the desk in front of you, obviously. James, first of all, 2018, your big point, and I think it's fair to say this has been a theme you hear very regularly on this program, has been points of difference this year, along with Sean's point, which has very much been choice. The overriding headline of 2018, or the thing that we're going to be talking about when it comes to schools, you're not allowed fees.
No, we're going to be talking transparency.
Okay.
We're going to be talking about schools delivering information that parents need, parents are looking for. We were looking for examination results from around about 250 private schools for their various exams this year. Of that, we have comprehensive results for around about 30 of them. So we will be making, as in which school advisor will be making efforts to encourage schools to become more transparent with that sort of data. Sean's talked about the value-added data. This phrase is going to become quite, you're going to hear a lot about this value-add, and we'll probably have to devote a program to that. But that's going to be a phrase that parents are going to be using quite a lot. They're going to be hearing about quite a lot. So transparency and value-add for 2018.
All right, we'll let you have the two there. What about you, Sean? Have you got one or two?
I've got one word that I think covers across parents, teachers, and schools. And that's opportunity. I think in 2018, teachers are going to see more opportunities, better opportunities to improve their overall salary packages, the types of roles that will be available. Because we're seeing specialist schools need specialist roles. Teachers need to fill those roles, demonstrate their expertise. So if we've got a sports school, where are we going to find 50 sports teachers dedicated to that? If you've got a music school, you need specialist music teachers. There isn't a conveyor belt of these people. So it means that teachers have to take these opportunities and often learn on the job and build their expertise. For schools, the opportunity is in building something that's very, very different. And for parents as well, I think they're going to see that Dubai is not complacent, and that things are constantly changing and evolving, and the opportunity for parents is that they have a choice of schools that are doing things very differently.
All right. Sean Robinson's from BBD Education, James Mullin from Which School Advisor. I'm not sure if you're in before the end of the year, actually. I wanted to ask you or talk to you about the impact of VAT, not on school fees, of course, but on services. And it will affect most parents in one way or another, whether that's football, extracurricular football or netball or uniforms or whatever it is. But I think that's another discussion. Guys, really good to have you here. Thanks for coming.
Great to be here.
Great to be here.
There's just so much more to hear.
Download our podcast at DubaiEye1038.com.